All right. Welcome back to the Bring the Wood podcast. It's your boy RK rocking with
JD, and it's been way too long, my friend. I'm so happy to be back doing this with you.
We're back. You know, it's I feel like every podcast we've started over the last, 4 months, I feel like we've been starting off with "We're back," because it's been between. And I guess for the sanity of our of both of us, it's good that we weren't on the podcast, because the Saints news has been fast and furious in a negative fashion. So let's just jump into it. Where do you want to start? Well, obviously we'll leave the elephant in the room for a little bit later, but let's go through injuries.
Sure. Let's get through that. We have a couple categories to talk about.
So Patrick Robinson retires. Sucks. Yeah. But hear me out. Haley Hive is alive and well. Bryce Thompson, alive and well. Is Keith Washington on IR or is he just injured?
I haven't heard much about Keith, but I think
he might be on
IR. He's not really on the field. Yeah.
I think he's on IR. Yeah. But the whole talk about the trading for CJ Henderson, which we'll get into, is something else that's there. So the DB room is thin, but luckily none of the DBs have been hurt. Knock on wood, we're good. Okay, they signed, what was the kid's name from the Jets that they signed? Poole, right?
Yeah, Brian Poole, yeah.
And I guess he's pretty versatile. He can play inside, outside, and he can play safety. So obviously that's the MO of what Sean wants. I heard a take, and I can't remember who it is, and actually I don't want to shut them up because they might not be happy with this take after they read it themselves, but somebody tweeted out they think PJ Williams is going to be cut. And it was someone reputable. I can't remember who it was, but either way, the concept of cutting PJ doesn't make a ton of sense to me. He's a guy that's been in the system, knows what's going on. He's a veteran, you need guys like that, in your system. So cutting him, I don't know what that would provide, especially when you're thin in the DB room, and he is proven to be an adequate starter, both mm-hmm. inside and outside. So mm-hmm. I don't know anything about that. What have I missed here? Any injuries I've missed there that we should be talking about?
Well, obviously Will Lutz with his abdominal strain there.
That's big. That's Lutz. Huge.
That one's massive. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Those big nuts provide a lot of juice on Sunday. So
there's some good to this. This will be exciting because now we have a kicker that can kick 65-yard field goals.
Yeah, and he's got three of them on his career, which is the most in NFL history, I think, 60 plus, right? So that's pretty impressive. Although his percentage, of accuracy being 74 isn't in the Will Lutz territory, but the 60 plus help out. If our offense can't move the ball like we did in the past few years, then at least we have a chance to get some points from far away still. So
and we might need to roll the dice a little bit here in some mm-hmm. games and kick some of those in order to be successful and win. So it could be a fun season like that. Like I was telling you today, John Hendricks tweeted out, this is either going to be one of the greatest Saints seasons ever or one of the absolute worst. There's no in between. So having a kicker like that epitomizes exactly what the season's going to be like.
You know? Yeah. It's either a 3-14 or a 14-3. That's the kind of year it's going to be.
And I'm here for it. It's Drew's first year gone. And I'm excited to see what's happening. Today in practice, Peyton Turner and Andres Pete both walked off with injuries. Certain guys have kind of been lingering with injuries. Traquan Smith had a little bit of a ding. Pete Warner had a couple dings. Had a ding. So he's injured. Quan's still getting back to shape. Am I missing anybody? There's been a lot of vets getting a lot of days off early on in camp so far. Mm-hmm. For the offensive line, I think Ruiz and McCoy and Ramchek have been good. Nick Vanette was banged up for a little bit. Adam Troutman seems to be like a chiseled, wily old vet. Mm-hmm. All the running backs are in great shape and doing well. You know who's been getting a lot of love in camp? And people have been like saying he's flashing. He won't make our team, but it's been interesting. Was Stevie Scott.
Yeah.
He's shown up as quite the pass catcher. And we'll get into how camp's been going for certain guys, but I was just looking at the roster and seeing that he's one of those guys. Other than injuries, I can't think of anybody else that's been banged up or injured. I think we covered them all. But here's the big thing that sucks. We're going to be losing David Onyemata to suspension. We're going to be losing Marshawn Lattimore to suspension, and we're going to be losing Deonte Harris to suspension. Mike Thomas, his injury issue, it could be as little as one game to three games if they just say, if they just put him on the PUP, I believe. But if they put him in injured reserve, then that means that he's got six games. Like, he's out for 6 weeks.
Yeah. Like, when did his surgery take place? It was recent, right?
It just happened. It just happened. Okay. So, yeah. But, like, we're going to be missing a lot of... In week one, we could be missing essentially five starters, you know, including Lutz. So, yeah. That doesn't bode well going up against the Green Bay Packers. But I really do love when Sean's, you know, back is up against the wall. I feel like we get the best out of him. And I think back to the Chicago game where everybody was banged up and we still came out of there with a win. You know, he had Teddy playing QB, so
and the five starters isn't, you know, taking into account two more, like without Drew and Thomas Morstead this year too. Like, that's seven guys that we had week one last year.
Good point. Right? Eight Emmanuel Sanders.
Oh yeah, eight. So that, you know, that's nine, like half a starting roster.
Nine Janoris Jenkins.
Oh man, it keeps adding up.
Yeah. 10, Brown. Malcolm Brown.
Oh yeah.
Here, Sheldon Rankins. Sheldon Rankins.
That's 11 people.
But here, hear me out. Let's just get right into this right now. So you say that, and my immediate thought in my head was to argue back with you about, but look at the exciting guys we got coming in. So in camp, guys that have been flashing. And that have been getting lots of love. I'm just gonna rattle their names off, and then when I'm done, we'll do defense first. If you have any guy that you want to talk about specifically, hit me up and let me know. Okay. So yeah. Peyton Turner having a great camp. Carl Granderson, great camp. Christian Ringo having a very good camp. Jalen Dalton, good camp. Albert Huggins, people are saying is going to make this team now. Shai Tuttle, Malcolm Roach, haven't heard much from. Josiah Bronson, haven't heard much from. Davenport, an amazing camp. Tano, not much of a camp I've heard of. Noah Spence apparently has been standing up, playing more like offside linebacker, and has flashed. Chase Hansen hasn't done much. Caden Ellis has been okay. Zach Bond has really played well in camp. DeMario's DeMario.
yeah.
And Pete Werner, I don't need to say much. You know, Underhill's been saying that this kid looks like he belongs immediately. Quan is Quan, and Andrew Dowell has been a guy that's really stood up for a bunch of people. So that's just the line and the linebacker. We'll talk about the secondary in a second. I didn't mean to do that. Secondary in a second. Yeah.
Nice. I like it.
Out of those guys, out of the big boys there, any of those guys stand out that you've been paying attention to or that you really think are going to make this team and make a difference?
No, like not having enough access to watch stuff, you know, it makes it tough to just kind of take what we have from the words of the people who are watching it and know exactly how it looks. But the names that pop up immediately always are and have been so far, you know, Andrew Dowell, Peyton Turner. And then of course the stalwarts like, you know, DeMario and Davenport. Well, stalwart, maybe not Davenport yet, but he's now producing, you know, at the level that Peyton Turner's, it seems, just a couple years late and one more first round than it was for Turner too. So, those dudes have been on my timeline all over the place, from different people, you know, Cat Terrell, Nick Underhill. And it's good to see. It's good to see that we have some young dudes who are stepping up to fill the roles that have been voided. And hopefully, you know, it translates from practice field into Saturday's game at Baltimore.
Yeah, that's the thing that really scares me is that it looks good now, right? Will it still be good after? The names that really stuck out for me, and I've been reading lots on it because I've never heard these guys' names before, but like Christian Ringo and Albert Huggins, those two guys, because David Onyemata won't count to the initial 53 on day one. So if Jalen Dalton, Albert Huggins, and Christian Ringo can rotate at that interior defensive lines position, and then you have Shai Tuttle, Malcolm Roach that also have played for the team and done well, I have a feeling one of those guys is going to get cut because they can't keep them all between Jalen Dalton, Huggins, and Ringo. But then you have Tano that can kick it inside as well. And Davenport or Cam can kick inside as well. And then Carl Granderson on the outside. I think it's a position of strength, actually. I do hear a lot of buzz about Dalton, and he makes a lot of splash plays, but I wonder what his consistency is like, especially against the run. At linebacker, the name that sticks out for me is I was already expecting Werner to be the starter, but now we brought Kwan in, so that means Werner's going to be playing a bit of a hybrid role. Do we go back to more three linebacker roles? Sets on defense, because that kind of what it's going to look like, because Zach Bond is playing really well. And like we don't give up the draft equity that we gave up for Zach Bond to be a perennial special teams player. So I do think that Sean and DA have a plan for Zach Bond, and I'm really happy to hear that he's got a couple of interceptions in practice and that he's, you know, made some pretty big splash plays and that he looks faster than he did last year. Also, if, you know, knock on wood again, DeMario happens to get injured, it seems like the linebacker position is now a position of strength for us. And I haven't even mentioned Andrew Dowell, who everybody is like salivating over, saying he's having a great camp. So I've just listed off six linebackers, didn't say Caden Ellis, and he's going to make this team, you know, and or Noah Spence, who's kind of a tweener, playing the edge position or linebacker, the will. So I'm excited. I'm excited for that.
Yeah, there's so many names. I'm just looking at the roster here too as you're talking about them all, and there's so many names that I don't want to, you know, not be in a Saints jersey when it comes around to week one, because they'll get scooped up probably immediately if they're not.
For you know, linebacker, we're gonna keep. We'll keep six, right?
We have to, I think, because
We'll keep six. So if we keep six, we'll get into our projections later. But if we keep six, there's only one name on that list that we'd be cutting. That'd be like, oh, that sucks. Other than that, I think we're good. I think. Am I crazy?
No, I'm
right. Okay, so let's look at corner here. So we have Mr. Anti-Vax himself, the third round pick, Paulson Adebo, Deuce Wallace, Kaveri Russell. I don't know anything about him. Adonis Alexander, who got a pick in his first day with the Saints during camp, and then Marshall Lattimore, Prince Amukamara, Ken Crawley, and Bryce Thompson, Grant Haley, and Brian Poole. I've heard really good things about Paulson Adebo, especially on special teams. Nick was saying that he was doing a great job of being a gunner. I haven't heard anything about Deuce Wallace. I only heard about Russell getting torched by Deontay Harris, which, you know, tough sledding, kid. You're running against one of the better speed guys in the NFL. Adonis Alexander had an interception, but it's third versus fourth team. You know, it's like all the scrubs. And then Marshawn's had a great camp. Prince Mukamara's made some plays. Ken Crawley went the first 4 days of camp without giving up a catch in one-on-ones. So yeah, if that's what we're getting from Ken Crawley, sign me up. I'm in. I'm in. Absolutely. I'm not like everybody else. I don't know about you. I'm not like everybody else, Justin. I'm not going to go and hate Ken Crawley because I used to hate him before. If he's playing well now, I'm in. What about you?
No, everyone can mature and get better with age, man. That's sort of how people, you know, hang around in the league. He wouldn't be in the league if he wasn't able to do that still. So, and to hear that he's taking one-on-ones and shutting guys down, you know, consecutive days in a row, and not just like the same dude, it's like all the dudes, then obviously this guy is you know, somehow his mindset, his confidence is increased, whatever the case may be. Like, this guy's ready to play this year. And the first year he was opposite Marshawn, he played really well that year.
Yeah.
He fell off after that, but if he's back and he likes to play opposite Marshawn and kind of, you know, vie for the CB1 role on this team, which is now wide open because Patrick Robinson's gone, man, maybe that's his motivation. Who knows what this guy is motivated by? But if he's, you know, taking, like I said, guys down one-on-one and not letting them get a ball in their hands, then, hey, yeah, you're right. Sign me up, too.
Yeah, and like guys like Grant Haley haven't practiced much. I think there's a death in the family. Brian Poole, they paid. I can't remember if Brian Poole's contract affects their salary cap. I think it's a pretty low contract.
I think it was cheap.
I think the guy that I'm cheering for, Bryce Thompson, actually reminds me a lot of CeeDee Deuce. So I'm cheering for him to make the squad, even though I think he'll be a practice squad guy. Speaking of CeeDee Deuce, let's look at the safeties. So Malcolm Jenkins, I haven't heard much about. CeeDee Deuce, I've heard a lot about. JT Gray, haven't heard anything. Marcus Williams, heard, has been good at practice. PJ Williams has been decent. And Eric Burrell, who was cut, picked up by a different team, and then cut and then brought back to us, I haven't heard anything about. So have you heard anything about any of those guys?
Nothing, man. It's been quiet in the safeties, which means that they're either not getting beat deep or they're getting beat too bad. They don't want to write about it, I guess. I'm not sure, but who knows what it is.
Okay. So we talked with defense here, right? Let's put on our GM. Let's put on our GM hats and let's pick our roster. Okay. So our punter, it's going to be, you got Cooney or Gillikin?
I think it's going to be Gillikin just based on
the name.
How they handled him last year. the name helps.
Gillikin's, you could be like Gillikin's Island.
Exactly. And if he starts putting them in the corners, that has to be the name. But I think just because how they stashed him last year by putting him on IR, knowing that Tommy was probably on the outs, they have something special in this kid that they don't want to let go of, obviously. So.
And they brought in competition to make sure he wasn't like apathetic or, you know.
For sure.
Was still working, so yeah, I'm with you on that. I think that's his job. Okay, let's start with the hardest position, corner. I think we keep five. I think we keep five. So which five do you think we keep? So automatically, we're keeping Adebo and Marshawn, right?
Yep.
So Adebo and Marshawn make this team, and now we play the game. I think Deuce Wallace, Russell, and Alexander all get cut. Do you agree?
Yeah.
That means Prince Amukamara. Do you agree he makes it?
First round pick, man. Sean loves going back to get those guys when they've fallen off, right? So I feel like that alone will probably get him on the roster.
Okay, so Prince Amukamara. That brings us to three. Ken Crawley. After the camp he's had, I think he's there. Four. So we have one spot available. Brian Poole, Grant Haley, Bryce Thompson.
Brian Poole might be because of the veteran capabilities, the slot play, and the fact, I think, if I'm not mistaken, in 2019 when he was with the Jets, I think he was like the sixth rated slot corner in the NFL that year.
I think it was just corner. I don't think it was slot. I think it was just corner.
Just overall.
Yeah, I know it's that you're talking about. He was in the 80th percentile or something like that, or 84 point something I saw. Yeah, I don't think it was just with slots. I think you're right. Okay, so actually, as I'm looking at the list, I just looked at last year's roster as well. They might keep six. So if they're keeping six, Bryce Thompson or Grant Haley?
Grant Haley, you know, being that he was on the team last year, and he did have a pick against Carolina in that game, even though it was, you know, week 17 still, same thing.
It was a good pick, though.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I just feel like the NFL year experience is going to definitely benefit him over a guy coming out of a weird college year, right?
Tennessee, yeah.
Yeah, just like the weird college year that it was for those kids, too. Like, they didn't play a real, you know, football season in terms of, like, the energy that you get from fans, right? So, I think we keep Grant Haley and Bryce might go to the practice squad for a bit.
Okay, so safety's pretty easy, right? Malcolm?
Yeah.
CJ GJ.
Yeah.
JT Gray.
Yeah.
Who am I forgetting? Marcus Williams.
Marcus Williams, yeah.
And do we think we keep a fifth?
No, I think that's...
Oh, sorry, PJ Williams.
Oh, yeah.
Because they haven't met less safety. So I'd be five and six. So that means...
So it's 11 DBs.
Yeah, so one of those DBs will be cut. So probably Haley or Poole. Will be cut. And to be honest with you, I think it's Poole because we don't need him. He's a luxury. Because Prince Amukamara could play inside, Grant Haley could play inside, and CJ GJ is really our nickel. So, yeah, we'll see how that pans out. We'll keep it at 11 for right now. And if we have to make one cut at the end, we'll make a cut, okay?
Yeah.
Defensive end. Actually, let's just go D-line. D-line together. Everybody together. So we got Cam Jordan, Peyton Turner, two firsts.
Yeah. Shy.
Shy. just for them. Matt Ryan's stiff arm.
yeah.
Granderson. So Granderson six definitely already? There. That's five. We're at five. Okay. Malcolm Roach, you think he makes it?
I think so.
What about Tano?
I think him. Yeah, him too.
Okay, so then that gets us to seven. We need one.
And Onyemata's not on the roster for the first 6 weeks, though, right?
No, he doesn't count for the first 6 weeks. So we have to pick up either Jalen Dalton, Christian Ringo, Albert Huggins.
You know more about them than I do, my friend.
I honestly think the way that they've been talking about Huggins, I think they're going to try and sneak him on the practice squad. It's Ringo or Dalton. Ringo's number 70, Dalton's 77. I'm going Dalton. Just like flip a coin.
And look at that size difference. So like Jalen Dalton, 6'6", 300 pounds. Christian Ringo, 6'1", 290.
Yeah.
Sean loves length, right? So
Yeah. It's just Christian Ringo's been winning reps against everybody. That's why they've just like, linebacker, I think this one's easy, right? We got Bond, DeMario, Werner, Kwan, Caden Ellis, that's five, and then Dowell, six.
Yeah.
Or it's Dowell or Chase Hansen. They've kept Chase Hansen around for a while, so.
I'm gonna be Dowell just based on the camp that he's having.
Yeah. Okay, so talk to me about the quarterbacks. What are your thoughts on the quarterbacks so far?
The quarterbacks.
Yeah, Jameis and that other guy from Utah.
Obviously, surprised to see Taysom get first team. Snaps first practice, but then again, seniority kicks in, I guess, at that point.
Yes, it does.
And keeping Jameis hungry, maybe, too, is also probably a factor in that decision. I think on Saturday we see Jameis Winston start the game against Baltimore, and then probably get a quarter and a half, and then maybe bring in Taysom to finish off. But he might want a two-minute drill, too, out of Jameis if we have a chance. So Jameis might play the first half, then Taysom gets the third quarter, and then I guess Trevor Siemian finishes it up. Ian Book apparently has been looking pretty good.
Yeah, I was just about to jump in and say that, yeah.
But I'm not sure he'll get his first reps over the established veterans on the first game of the preseason. With only 2 weeks of camp under his belt, I think he's going to need more than that still to get on the field. But I think Jameis is our number one guy week one versus Green Bay. Unless Taysom, rips it up all August in training camp practices and the games. But I think Jameis, just based on some of the days that he's had in the red zone, the accuracy on up the sideline to guys like Kamara and Deontay Harris and now with his boy Devonta Freeman back in the mix, like he's happy about that probably. Like I feel like that might have been a move to kind of, spark the running back room, but also make Jameis Winston a little bit, happier that he's here too and bring a friend along, I don't know.
Bring a friend to work day.
yeah, exactly. Man, like I'm so excited for Saturday evening, can't even tell you. Which is weird. It's an August, 14th football game. Typically, I don't care about these games too much, but I watch them intently, and I'll watch this one like it's a real game, I think, on Saturday.
Yeah, I'll be excited. I was saying to you earlier, this is the first time in how many years that we're excited to watch a preseason game.
Yeah, man.
We've been spoiled waiting for the regular season just to start so we could see how far Drew is going to take us. And now, we've got a roster where we've got a lot of questions that have got to be answered. And the season being only three games, I think there's a heightened sense of intensity that's come out because guys are really fighting for their job in the spotlight, and they're only going to get a small window to do so. And with that limited spotlight, if you make a mistake, conversely, it's going to be amplified, and that's not what these guys want to live with. So I've heard nothing but crazy things about Ian Book, almost to the sense of, he's had better days of camp than the other two that are in the competition. And that's hard to say because he's playing with different guys, obviously playing with, third and fourth team guys. But I can say Simeon's on his way out. I feel pretty confident Simeon's on his way out.
Yeah.
So let's not beat that down too much. I think the running back room is pretty pretty solidified at the top. AK, Murray, and Freeman. Freeman, the talk around Freeman was that he got a ton of work when he got signed by the Saints, and looked good doing it. So I think that he's a guy that's, you know, break glass in case of emergency if AK ever got injured, could do some of the same things. Ty Montgomery, I'm gonna put with the running backs here. And then my question for you is, like, Alex Arma, he's obviously going to be our fullback. Are they going to carry four running backs and a fullback, or three running backs and a fullback? And if it's three running backs and a fullback, that takes away a special teams guy. No, they're going to carry four running backs and a fullback. So now, is it Ty Montgomery or is it Dwayne Washington that take that fourth running back spot? Or do you think that Tony Jones Jr. or Stevie Scott have an opportunity?
Oh man, that's such a tough battle. Like, for the last spot, I don't know. I think Ty Montgomery, being that he's so versatile and can be put in a receiver position if he needs to be, and utilized that way, which Sean would do a great job of. Plus, when he had the carries, I think it was against Carolina that same game.
Yeah, 100 yards.
Yeah, man, he looked really, really good, and Sean was happy about that. And typically, week 17, Sean isn't thinking about what just happened. He's thinking about what's coming up next week because it's playoffs for him most often. So the fact that he was you know, pumped about Ty getting that work and producing with it, I think that left a good taste in his mouth to end the season. And yeah, just versatility. Like, Alvin can be put in the slot if he has to be. Ty Montgomery can do the same thing. Jet sweeps, all that kind of stuff. I think Ty makes it based on work ethic alone that we see on, you know, social media pages he posts on. I haven't seen much this year, but I know last year when he was coming to our team, he had a lot going on. But then again, Dwayne Washington, he's been a staple for, what, 4 or 5 years now?
I just wonder if it's just like you push something that's been there for a while out.
Yeah.
You know, and go with something new.
Sure. And Ty would play special teams, I'm guessing, too, if he has to, right? So,
well, we got Dwayne a lot. Sorry, go ahead. Sorry.
I know Dwayne's a standout on special teams, which is why he's been around for so long, too. But looking at the size difference, like, they're much the same, and been in the league just about the same time too, right? So it's tough, man. I feel like Ty might be the guy.
I do as well, and I don't think it necessarily has to come down to special teams fully, because I think when we get to receiver, actually, let's jump in the receiver right now. I think with Michael Thomas starting on the PUP, I think the Saints keep, this is going to sound crazy. I think the Saints keep seven receivers.
Wow.
And this is why. The reason why is Quan Baker. So if they're going to make a cut, they're going to make a tough cut. And it won't be a popular one. I think the room will be divided. But let's say Deontay starts the season suspended. He doesn't count against the roster. Mike Thomas doesn't count against the roster because he's injured. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So they got Traquan Smith. You agree?
Yeah.
Marquez Callaway.
Yeah.
Lil Jordan Humphrey.
Mm-hmm.
You're agreeing so far?
Yeah.
Okay. Jalen McCleskey.
Yeah.
Because they need a returner, especially with Deontay out. So that's four. Chris Hogan. Five. To play that traditional Mike role.
Mm-hmm.
The X role. And then number six would be Quan Baker.
Yeah.
Now, there's six guys there, and there's two guys that are coming off injury and coming off suspension.
Yeah.
Now, do they cut Jalen McCleskey? I guess they cut Jalen McCleskey or try to move him to the practice squad when Deontay Harris is active, correct?
Yeah, because he's much the same role, right? Like lightning in a bottle, returner if need be, speed guy. Smallish frame, right? 5'9", 150. Like Deontay, man, Deontay's big for 5'6", 5'6", 170.
Yeah, it's a big boy.
Little though.
Yeah. Man. That's why I don't understand how he's always injured. It's irritating. So then when Mike gets back, does that mean Chris Hogan gets cut? Because if they keep Chris Hogan, that means they're keeping seven.
If Chris Hogan is able to produce while Mike's out, then maybe Quan Baker gets pushed down to practice squad.
There's no way they'll be able to sneak him onto the practice squad. He'll get picked up. There's wide receiver needy teams, And the reason why the Saints drafted him is because they knew somebody else wanted him. They didn't want to wait to the UDFA situation and get into a bidding war.
And see, like, all these receivers, like, all these guys can make a case for themselves to stay along all season, which is probably why they moved Juwan Johnson to tight end, so they can balance the roster, right?
Mm-hmm.
And because he's you know, physically fit to be a tight end too, it seems. But I feel like they did that thinking that they have so many guys they want to keep from receiver that they can't, you know, include him in that list as a receiver.
I didn't want to cut little Jordan Humphrey too quickly because I feel like he's been in the system now for a while and they've kept him around. They made him active in that Kansas City game last year. He scored a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there's a reason. Like, Sean sees something in little Jordan Humphrey that he likes. I think it's like a mixed mash of, like, Tre'Quan Smith and Brandon Coleman. And he's like, I like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that he would be, it'd be him, Chris Hogan, or Kwon Baker that would get the axe when Mike gets back, unless they're going to keep seven, which is a crazy number. That's just a crazy
number. Let's talk about hypothetical for a second. So,
okay.
Mike Thomas is gone till week six.
Okay.
Okay, so in those 6 weeks, what kind of stat line would Chris Hogan have to stay on the roster, and what kind of stat line would Kwon Baker or little Jordan have to have to stay on the roster? I think
Chris needs 20 plus catches, probably in the window of like 24 catches.
So four a game.
Well, we have a bye in there, right? So
yeah,
it's almost five a game. I'm thinking. Yeah. I think he has to have a couple big games in there. So I think he has to be in like that upper echelon, like mid-range 20 receptions. He's got to be good on third down. Catch rate's got to be damn near perfect. Like, I'm talking like in that 80% catch rate for targets.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because
like that, 300 yards by that point, 60 yards a game.
It doesn't necessarily have to be that, because I don't think Chris Hogan's going to be the guy that's taking the top off the defense. I think, you know, with those 20 catches, even if he's at like 9, even if he's at like 200 yards, you know, if he's at like 200 and change, I think that would be enough. Like, call it three touchdowns, 20 plus catches, you know, 9 yards of reception. I think that's enough there where they're making it difficult to cut him, because somebody will pick that up.
Yeah.
And like, he's a crazy athlete. Now, on the other hand, a guy like Kwon Baker, we're talking like maybe 7 catches, 2 splash plays, and like really good special teams work.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's solidified his roster spot for the rest of the year. Jalen McCleskey, we're talking about with like them making a tough decision with him. Say he returns a kick in the first 2 weeks. Two. Mm-hmm. Say he returns two, like, you know what I mean, like a punch or something. Then it becomes different, or he catches a deep, you know, scheduled routine pass from Jameis that they mapped out for him. That could also make it different. The guy that I'm looking at that would probably get the axe is McCleskey when Deontay gets there, little Jordan or Hogan. Because I just don't see them cutting Kwon. They cut little Jordan a couple times and brought him down to the practice squad quite a bit, so...
Yeah, he's used to that. He's like the new Austin Carr, right? Wasn't Austin Carr?
It was Austin Carr. Who was the lineman? It was Bryce. It was him and JT Barrett. They are on the practice squad, and they got rotated on the practice squad. Like, I think JT Barrett was like set a record. It was like 63 call-ups or something like that.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So yeah, I could see him being that kind of guy for us too. And like Jake Lapman's always sticking around too, eh? Like, what's going on with this guy?
I think Sean just likes him. But let's be honest, as bad as our wide receivers room is to the rest of the NFL, I think we have a better idea of what this looks like now, and he doesn't crack the top eight.
No, for sure not.
You know, so, and it'd be nice to get rid of Tommy Lee Lewis after he had the audacity. To go and don the number 12. Like, I was just like, listen, my man Justin is going to take a, you know, a WestJet flight out to New Orleans, you know, stop over in Denver, get himself a little sandwich, a little Denver sandwich, And then he's going to get some hot sauce in that sandwich to get his all fired up. And he's going to show up in New Orleans. He's going to slap the black off of you, you mofo.
Man, what's he doing taking 12 out of all the...
Oh, my God.
And what's with Marcus Callaway not keeping 12? I came to terms with it. I was good with it. It made sense to be.
Wasn't 12. Was he one in college?
He might have been one in college.
One's such a cool number for a wide receiver. Like one,
yeah.
One and number zero, number zero, number one, even number three. Those are cool numbers. Alvin Kamara in the number six just looks too nice.
I know, but
it looks too nice. That would
ruin so many jerseys that are owned by the people.
Oh, I know. He won't do it, but he wants to do it.
Oh, he does. And Tommy let that door fly open for him too. Yeah, I think our receiver room is going to be interesting to watch. I'm looking forward to seeing what James can do with these guys. And I'm also interested what we're going to do with the two tight end set.
Yeah.
So how do you see our tight ends?
Before we get to tight ends, you know what I want to say, and I was trying to find the words. I hope we're not the parents that look at our ugly kid and be like, man, our kid is good looking. And everybody else is like, nah, man, you got an ugly kid. I hope that's not what we're doing right now, because like Callaway proved that he was a good receiver in the NFL last year, right? Traquan Smith has proven he's a good receiver in the NFL. Michael Thomas is a beast when he's healthy. Deontay Harris, like, he was coming on as a receiver. Like, Tampa Bay had no answer for him, you know, before he got dinged up and hurt. So, like, I just named four guys. You only need two guys to really be good. And I just named four. And we didn't name Chris Hogan, who's played in this league. You know, we haven't named Quan Baker, who's a rookie, who the Saints haven't drafted a wide receiver in how long, and now they drafted one. And he's probably going to be good. So, like, maybe our wide receiver room is not as bad as everybody's thinking it is, because it doesn't have a whole lot of names. Like in Carolina, they're like, oh, they got DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson, and they drafted Terrace Marshall, and they got David Moore, who got injured in practice. I think it's bad, actually. I didn't check after. Yeah, he got hurt pretty bad. So, you know, they got all these names, and everybody's like, their wide receiver room is so good. I'm like, well, our wide receiver room might be better. We just don't have the names. So
exactly.
But to answer your question about tight end, I think this is the easiest position group to talk about. Nick Vannett and Adam Trautman locked in. Juwan Johnson has been having an unbelievable camp. So I think he's the third guy. And like Team Garrett Griffin is Ross Jackson. Like he is Team Garrett Griffin. Mm-hmm. And even he said on his podcast, he's like, yeah, I gotta switch this over. Juwan Johnson's probably got that third tight end spot.
Yeah, for sure.
Ethan Wolf's gonna go on IR, you know, Phantom IR again. And then that's tight end. Do you have anything to add there?
Nothing to change, man. I can't wait to watch Trautman play this year.
Imagine this set. Just imagine the set. Three tight ends, two running backs. The running backs are Devontae Freeman, Alvin Kamara. The tight ends are Trautman, Vannett, and Juwan Johnson.
Oh my gosh. Then we have our freaking massive O-line, and then Jameis Winston with all of his pickings he can choose from.
Yeah, and it's going to be like, oh, they're going to run the ball. And then all of a sudden you see Trautman go to the X spot, and you see Juwan Johnson go to the Z, and you're like, oh, Alvin Kamara's in the slot. And now you got Freeman in the backfield, and you're like, uh-oh.
Yeah, that you got to DM Sean and let him know that setup right now, because that might be the one
that got me excited.
If it's third and two in the red zone to win the game, we're sending our guys out to look like we're gonna run the ball with those guys. They have to audible to that.
That just like that. That's just such a success.
It's unstoppable at that point. You can't.
Oh, run, and you run Kamara on like a ghost sweep to start it. So the entire defense starts shifting to where he runs.
Oh, my God.
Drag Juwan Johnson across the field at 240.
Okay, this has to happen now, man.
Have Trautman put, you know, Levante David's jockstrap back on the ground after he cuts and makes a wicked route. Sign me up. I'm good. I'm getting excited. I'm ready for the season.
I'm so happy now, man. Like, I'm inconceivably happy right now with that. It's such a fantasy. Like, it's like my fantasy was just been told to me. It's like,
man. Our wives would be like, man, you guys are losers. We'd be like, yep.
The blood flow is at peak. It's at peak levels right now.
You need 16 minutes? You want to come back to the podcast?
16 seconds, buddy. Let's be real.
Okay. Offensive line. I think the starters are in, like, cement, right? We got Pete McCoy, Ruiz, Ramczyk, and Armstead. They're going to keep Ruiz at right guard and just let him grow. Now, here's where it gets tricky. And I'm not an O-line savant. I don't know a ton. How many do they usually keep? 9?
I think typically it's 9.
9. Okay, so that means 4 guys stay. So automatically, James Hurst is staying.
Yeah. Okay?
So that's at 6.
Landon Young.
7. Ethan Greenidge. Greenidge is staying. That's 8. So now we have to pick between Derek Kelly, Will Clapp, Calvin Throckmorton, Michael Brown, Christian Montano, and J.R. Sweezy, who they just signed. I think J.R. Sweezy was a camp body, just to give guys days off. Give guys days off, and he's pretty talented in himself. There's a reason why he's not sticking to teams. So I don't know what that reason is, but I think this could be the end of Will Clapp. If I'm being honest, because I think they're gonna want to keep Calvin Throckmorton. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Have you heard anything, or do you have any thoughts on that?
I think that's basically bang on. That's what I was thinking too. It's been 3 years with Will Clapp too, and he hasn't really, you know, he's come in to do his job when he's been asked, but it's not like he's not winning jobs, you know. Granted, the 5 that are in front of him obviously are tremendous, but. But yeah, no, I think those 4 extra that we mentioned are the 4 that will start if anyone goes down behind our 5.
Yeah.
So yeah. That locks it in. Like, so is that 53? Did we get to 53?
Well, let's see. We had 9 offensive linemen. Mm-hmm. Let's count it up. So we got 9, 15, 16, 17, 18, 23, 29, 30, 34, 37, 40. 42, 44, 46, 48. We're at 57.
Oh, damn.
We're at 57. So, but that's 57 without the suspension guys. So, hold on. Take Mott out. That's 56. Take out MT. That's 55. Take out Harris. 54. And take out Marshawn. That's 53.
Perfect.
So, if all 3 of those guys are suspended, that's 53. When they come back now, okay, let's play this game. We didn't plan on it, but let's play this game. Those guys come back, who are we cutting? You have 4 guys coming back. So for the corners, you have Adebo, Prince Mukamara, Crawley, Poole, Haley, PJ Williams. We'll slide him over there.
Probably Grant Haley would be gone at that point if Brian Poole's not playing like he played in New York, right?
Yeah. It's Haley or Poole, right? So one of those guys will go.
Yeah, if Brian Poole plays like he played in Atlanta, he's gone earlier than that.
Drew Brees put him in the spin cycle. I was
done.
Yeah. Onyemata comes back. Malcolm Roach?
Maybe. Practice squad.
Try and sneak him on there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got
it. That's all I can think of, really.
It's that,
we already talked
or or Tano, if Tano's not playing well, or then Dalton. It's Tano, Dalton, or Roach.
Yeah. And then we talked about receivers when they come back. It'll be, obviously, Chris Hogan if he's not performing, and then McCleskey if he's not doing what Deontay can do.
Okay, man. So we got the game coming up. We just went through our initial preseason projected roster. That'll change after every game because we'll get some, you know, we'll get some looks under the lights from these guys and see how they perform playing against other teams. Let's go through it. Who are your 3 bums? Let's start negative and finish positive. So looking at the game, we're going to have the game going on against Baltimore. There's obviously going to be 3 guys that are not going to play well. What 3 guys do you think will stand out for not playing well?
Oh, that's hard to say. That's tough, man, not knowing the situation, like with playing time. But if we're to kind of go out, you got to think it's got to be the Young Bucks who are just too frisky on the first game day. that just want to get everything done on film, and that will be their downfall. So I could see if Pete Werner, you know, is given the chance to either start on the weak side and he gets just a bit too excited, he can make some mistakes.
Okay. So Werner's one of your bums?
Yeah, but still not jeopardize his job. I could see Landon Young just getting turned around on the O-line. You know, playing at Kentucky isn't really, you know, the place where all the greatest O-linemen come from, but I'm just excited to be out there.
Isn't Pete Kentucky?
Pete's no, Andres Kentucky. Pete was Stanford.
Andres Pete?
Yeah, Stanford.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, makes me hate him more. Okay. Go ahead.
And then I could see maybe Paulson Adebo just getting torched once or twice, I think, if he's out there. And if, I don't know, I feel like the rookies are going to have a tough day.
Okay.
Because, again, like the short training camp, they change so many things with how they can, you know, be around each other, and I feel like they're just not really ready for it yet. So.
Okay. For me, I think Marquez Callaway is going to have a rough first day. All that camp hype, reading the press clippings, I think he's gonna come in with a bit of a big head. Now, that could mean I'm completely wrong and he plays lights out. That's also an option. I actually prefer that option. But I think he's going to have a bit of a letdown. I also think CJGJ has a rough game. I don't think he's going to take it as serious. He's going to be trying to do certain things, you know, trying to work with different footwork and trying to just do some different things in the field because he's going to use it kind of as a practice, like a glorified practice, and he might look bad. And then my last one is, and this is just for Saints Twitter because I know Saints Twitter will go crazy and it'll just turn into like chaos, which would be fitting for our offseason. Davenport. Davenport's going to look very, very mediocre, and it's going to have everybody saying, should we just cut Davenport? Should we just cut our top? And all that garbage, not understanding the cap. And you'll have stupid people talking. So I've got Davenport, I've got Callaway, and I've got CJGJ. You've got Werner, you've got Adebo, and you've got, who's the third one? And Landon Young.
Yeah.
Perfect. I'll let you finish off. I'll go with my stars. I think Juwan Johnson's going to look awesome. I think he's going to look absolutely awesome. I think he catches a touchdown, actually, in the first game. And we're going to stick with the people that catch the footballs. I think Juwan Baker going to look awesome. I think he's got a real tough nose. I think it might not even be about him scoring. I just think he'll stand out on film. I think the way he moves, how aggressively and violent he runs, I think that's going to stand out, and we're going to be very excited to see him, you know, truck somebody or, you know, just whatever. Jameis Winston, I think, is going to look awesome. I think he's going to look crisp. I think he's going to look accurate. I think he's going to take it as, I'm here, I'm ready to go. Remember, he's a first overall pick. Pressure is nothing to him. I think this would be a good opportunity for him to just, you know, take the roof off. I didn't pick anybody on defense. I know somebody on defense is going to play well, and I just can't pick the one guy that's going to stand out, whether it's going to be Bond or Dowell or Dalton or Ringo or even Tano. You know, I can't pick one of those guys, but I know one of those guys is going to stand out. I just can't pick it. Who are your three stars?
I think it's going to be Carl Granderson. He's going to finally have a chance to, like, get enough playing time, you know. And he's had chances in the past, but now maybe he'll get, like, bumped up to
big
the,
creep.
The next. Yeah, big creep. Man, he's been creeping on his spin moves there and the offseason. So I think he'll do some Dwight Freeney creeping and get those popping off in the game. So Carl Granderson will be my number one guy. Not number one, one of my three, I guess. And then I also feel like a guy like James Hurst will stand out to look good, and he belongs. But also on the same old line, I'm going to go with Cesar Ruiz too. And then I'll take a pass catcher. I think McCleskey might look pretty decent. And kind of take on that, what if Deontay, you know, is suspended and doesn't do what he does? What are we going to do with this situation?
I know you so well. I'm not joking. I'm going to send you a picture, but I wrote down Justin's going to say McCleskey.
I was talking about him earlier this year too, in June, July.
I know. You're Man. A fan. I'm just not a big fan of guys that can't ride the roller coaster. It just doesn't get me going. But I hope you're right, and I hope I'm wrong.
Hey, listen. The guy who can't even get on a Tinker Town here in Winnipeg, Deontay Harris.
I know. He's changed.
Rookie All Pro.
Okay, so this is week one. I'm keeping all these notes so we can publish them after, and we'll have some fun with it. We'll put it on Twitter as like a file that people can look at. What's your final score for the Saints versus Baltimore?
Oh, I don't know how much the starters play, to be honest.
They're getting at least a full quarter.
Yeah. I feel like it'll be a low-scoring game. I feel like it'll be like a 17-13 kind of game. I'm going to go Saints, 17-13 Saints.
Okay, perfect. As usual, I'm going offense. I'll take the over. I've got the Saints 27-17. And that's with two turnovers. They're going to force two turnovers. I think the Saints force two turnovers, especially later in the game. I also think Ian Book throws for two touchdowns.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, I think Jameis airs it around the field, probably has to settle for a couple field goals, gets Mar, you know, ready and relaxed with the Saints, which is good for them. But I think Ian Book gets to be the star with the two touchdown passes. And I don't think we see much of Alvin Kamara in this game.
No.
I think they put him on the shelf, and they run a lot of Freeman, lots of Murray. And yeah, that's it.
Man, I'm so excited. It's only 5 days away. It's awesome.
I am so pumped. I have club championship. So at our golf course, we have we got our club championship on Saturday, Sunday. And I don't know what time my tee time is, but I am absolutely stoked.
Yeah.
Are preseason games on the Zone?
Yes, they are. Yeah.
Okay, well, that means I'm going to have to re-up my subscription and get my
stuff. Yeah, me too. Yeah. Once December like 10th hit, I'm like, okay, cancel. Get my last thing, and then I'm out. I'll check in August.
You're like me. Okay, and then last thing before we get out of here. Are the Saints going to make a trade at corner, or are we staying put? What do you think?
I think we stay as we are until we have to break glass in case of emergency.
You think it's CJ Henderson?
Oh,
reunite him with CJ GJ. Have all the J's on our team.
Yeah, see, I think Sean likes to get the internal scouting report from guys he trusts. And well, every coach would, of course, but I think Sean really validates the guys who give him information by helping them bring those guys in. Like, we've seen it more than once already with him, right? Mm-hmm. Like where he brings in dudes that have played with other dudes before based on whatever, college, NFL, former Saints, whatever the case might be.
So Benny Fowler. Like, you know, Benny Fowler last year with Drew Brees in the offseason.
Exactly. So I feel like if CJ DJ said, yeah, this guy is a baller, went to the wrong team, wrong situation, whatever else, you know, bring him home to me. And yeah, I think that'd be good. That'd be great for CJ DJ too. And just I guess he was ninth overall in the draft he was in, right? So
another high pick, more pedigree.
It's pretty high for that's like Marshawn Lattimore territory, right?
I'm shocked that Jacksonville's willing to let him go. That's what I'm talking about.
What would it take to get him though?
I think they'll have to give up next year's first. I'm not gonna lie to you. It's either next year's first or next year's second and a fourth or something like that. I wonder if they would ask for a Debo. I don't think Sean's in love with a Debo. So I wonder if they would say, give us next year's second and a Debo, and you can have CJ Henderson. Because then they have a Debo locked into a rookie contract from a third round pick, so it's not super high. So it helps their cap. They get rid of a bigger contract from a first round pick. They get an additional pick in the second round. And the Saints get an automatic starter opposite of Marshawn Lattimore that was a first-round pedigree. I think that works out for both parties. In fact, I should email Sean that idea.
Yeah. As well as your three tight end, two running back set.
Get that one. I'll send him a video of that. Okay, so I got a ketchup packet. This is Vinette. I got a mustard packet. This is Alvin Kamara.
Oh, man. Amazing.
All right, Matt. Make it happen. Awesome. That was awesome. That was awesome. Okay, for the people that are listening, you know, check us out. Make sure to tell other people about us. We're out here just having fun. We love the Saints. We're going to be doing way more going into this now that the games are starting. And we our fandom kicks in a little bit more aggressively.
Yes, sir.
And we'll definitely find the time. Anything else to add, Just?
No, I enjoyed this, man. I always do. And look forward to the next one. We'll do a little post-game after your golf tournament on Sunday. We'll do a post-game
review. Maybe we do a little pre-game if there's any more news that comes out. But yeah, we'll definitely do a post game. That sounds good, even if it's super late.
All right, buddy.
All right, man. People, be easy. You know, remember, life is beautiful. Enjoy it. Enjoy the Saints. Who dat? We love you. Who dat?
Who dat? Who dat, man?